Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live at Uncle Julio's in Frisco, 2401 Preston Road. You might see in your navigator, it will say, well, they don't open until 11 o'clock. They are going to open now. They are open now if you want to go ahead and come on in and see us. We've got Tolo shirts to give away while supplies last. Plus, we're going to be doing giveaways for Nelly concert tickets, Amazon Echo Dots. We got all kinds of giveaway. Plus, I don't know if you heard, Corey. It's a pretty big Cowboys move yesterday. They did pick up Trevor Keegan off of waivers from the Eagles, so I assume that is the number one thing that you want to talk about.
That sounds good to me, if that's what you want to do.
No, it's not. You know it's not.
Look, man, I told you a long time ago, I'd rather talk about football any day other than contract talk.
Okay.
And now I feel like there's a lot of contract talk that might happen. So let's talk about some other things.
Okay.
Margaritas, there are lots of options here at Uncle Julio's, Kevin, and those options include blackberry, mango, so many different flavors, the chocolate pinata, that's available to you as well, plus so many different types of food. You have to eat lunch. Why not eat lunch with us? You know,
yeah.
Why not eat lunch with us today? But if you're talking about the Micah Parsons thing.
Probably.
The first question, you know, you have Cowboys questions that matter regarding Micah.
And Micah, yes.
The question is, did they make the team better? They made their team worse today.
Correct.
They also made the team potentially better down the road. How they manage that down the road,
who knows?
We cannot predict, and that's an impossible thing to predict because we'd have no clue what's going to be available to them. Arch Manning was not supposed to come out this year, right?
Right.
So the picks could not be used this year if he does not come out. But then again, maybe he gets to the end of this season and goes, you know what? I see the Cowboys have the ability to trade up to number one. I definitely want to be the quarterback they take. So maybe that's a possibility. Nobody knows what the future holds. But there's no way everybody is going to agree on whether or not this is a right decision. Like I can only tell you what I think after listening to Jerry and Steven, what they had to say yesterday. And I agree with Jerry that Micah was problematic when it came to stopping the run.
Yeah.
I've said this for 2 years now. I've been saying over and over that they run right at him. And that was not changing anytime soon. Now, you can also look and say, hold on, were the Cowboys good at stopping the run last year? And then you say, well, they were fourth worst. They gave up the fourth most yards last year. They gave up about 5 yards per carry. They gave up 25 rushing touchdowns last year, which was the most in the NFL and the most they'd ever given up. So, no, they weren't good at stopping the run. So Jerry's right when he's saying that. They had to get better at that. Micah was a weakness and something that when they were watching games, they were going, why does he keep getting run over?
Yeah.
And so Jerry, actually, he is right about that. And I thought that Jerry made an offer that he thought he had a deal, you know, with Micah. And the two sides never talked. And in that silence, Jerry and people in the building who have been having meaningful discussions about trading him for 2 years now, and I say meaningful discussions for 2 years now because
right.
we were talking about it with people at the Super Bowl two
yes.
years ago, and we had that conversation. The whole station was talking about that 2 years ago. So they've already been discussing this for a time. He wanted to pay Micah a significant amount annually. Don't forget about that whole fifth-year thing. Like Micah didn't want the fifth year, obviously. He said no. He even acknowledged that it was clever on the agent's part to try to bring Micah in to get his number so that they could start negotiating. He was like, oh, that was clever of them, actually.
Yeah.
So a lot of things that Jerry said are right. A lot of things that Jerry said yesterday also completely contradict everything that he said.
What do you mean? Michael Parsons is great.
So there were a lot of things that were convoluted and confusing, but the simple fact is they've chosen to go in a direction that is different than we thought they would be going at this point in the season. And Kevin, quite honestly, if they had kept him around throughout this season, every single week I think Micah would have been a question mark had he not been signed to a new extension.
Sure.
So that would have caused problems all week long because now you got questions every single week. So they decided we're going to go ahead and get rid of the potential distraction, even though they had a lot to do with the distraction too. They also decided we are going to try and figure out how to pay other people instead of giving him such a huge chunk of money. And that's where they are, and that's frustrating people who also, at the same time, felt like this team was going nowhere this year.
Now,
before the trade even happened.
I want to read this from the 469, because I understand this, and I want to further the tone for at least how I feel today. For the 469, I'm just saying, Jerry does for Jerry. Micah was ours. Our hope, our my guy is better than yours, our we have a chance guy, at least for them. And they said they're a lifetime Cowboys fan. I'm not here to dump on any of those people today. And that's sometimes why I have an issue with some of the dialogue that happens. It's like, oh, you're an idiot if you think this. You're an idiot if you think that. I don't think you're an idiot if you think this was a stupid move by the Cowboys and they got fleeced. I'm just here to tell you I disagree. I think in the long term, this was the right move for the Cowboys.
Because somebody's like, here you go talking about trash about Parsons. I've been saying he couldn't stop the run for 2 years. Is he fantastic at pass rush? Absolutely. One of the highest pass rush win rates, one of the highest pressure rates you can find out there. But what did Jerry open with yesterday?
We got to stop the run.
We got to stop the run. And if you don't have a pass rush that can eliminate the run, go back and look over the years that Dan Quinn was here. Their pass rush was so good and their offense was so good that people had to go. They were boat races, right?
Yeah.
People were having to catch up the entire game and they couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't run the ball because they felt like they had to throw against the Cowboys. So stopping the run, we talked about this multiple times. And yes, Mike is a fantastic pass rush guy, but Jerry said yesterday, if you can't win with the pass rush, then you got to be able to stop the run, and we couldn't do either.
Yeah.
And last year was really good proof of that. So, again, this is not I'm not talking trash about Micah. I've been saying this for 2 years that he wasn't good at stopping the run. I do hate that you give up one of the best players on your team, him, CeeDee Lamb, you could say, are two of the best players on the team. I'd hate that you give that up. I love the fact that you have some assets to do work with down the road.
Now, from the 817, I think it's a good move to get rid of Micah, but I think we got fleeced. Okay, I get it, because people wanted essentially the Herschel Walker trade, which I don't think you'll ever see anything quite like that again, but that all boils down to I got rid of a lot of the extra stuff.
But we wanted the Khalil Mack trade.
Okay, well, the Herschel Walker deal was 3 firsts and 3 seconds. It's essentially what it boiled down to. I know there was a lot of other moving parts, and you didn't get that. And if you're upset because of that, I understand. I think you got a lot of salary relief along the way, which goes a long way with me. And then from the 817, this is probably something we're not going to address much at all today. Jerry and the Jones family are holding the fan base hostage. I hear you.
No, they've been doing that for 30
years.
Yeah,
we've talked about that for a really long time, and the problem with that is that ain't never going to change. Never, ever, ever. Not in my lifetime, not in your lifetime. It's not going to happen. And so I think we all need to accept that, even if we think it sucks, and move on with our life. Fair?
Mm-hmm.
You agree with me on this.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in this, like, let's head in the right direction. This season could be a wash. I've been saying this a lot. We have no clue what to expect from this season. I'm setting my bar low so that I'm not let down. And if anything's over 5 wins, I'm like super happy about things because my bar is set so low for what this thing was before the trade. Now the trade's happened, I'm not changing my mind. I'm not saying that Kenny Clark's going to come in here and just change the world for this team. I think he's a good player.
I don't
player,
think
though.
Anybody thinks that.
I like him as a player.
Sure.
I know he missed a few games last year for the toe injury. I watched a little bit of him last night. I was like, this dude fits with what we're doing. Also, don't you think Eberflus has a good idea going up against him for the last 3 years of what that guy can do? So I bet when they went to Eberflus and said, hey, we're going to do this deal, he was like, hey, keep an eye on this guy in the process. I absolutely like that guy to go in the middle of my defense, and I could start with that. And that's what his defense – I've been telling you all year. That's what his defense relies on is having good defensive tackle play. So hopefully that'll be a good thing. So, this season – didn't change in my mind, Kevin.
Yeah.
This move didn't change this year in my mind at all.
And for the comparison to Nico, again, I'm not going to call anybody an idiot today, except for, I guess, to be fair, that person who said you can't get anyone good in the draft from picks 24 to 32. I do think that is an idiotic point of view. But other than that, I will try to stay away from that viewpoint today. They compared Jerry to Nico. I don't totally get those comparisons outside of they were great players and you traded them. Like, that part I definitely get. But the Dallas Mavericks had just been in the NBA Finals. Like, with that team, you could see the path to a championship. You can't see the path to the championship with this Cowboys team because you've never seen anything close to it. That's the biggest difference for me. If the Cowboys had been in the Super Bowl last year, I definitely would be here with you today. Been like, what the F are we doing? But no, they didn't even make the playoffs. And so that's why I don't
think. So if they had won the Super Bowl last year,
then I would
be
confused.
And then fired McCarthy and then, you know, gone ahead and moved on from Micah. You'd be confused.
I would be very confused.
But they haven't sniffed the playoffs or the Super Bowl in a while, an NFC championship, let alone.
Correct.
And so now they do something different to try and get to there, and I got to be upset that they didn't keep that play. Because, well, and here's the thing, Kevin. What did we say about Luka in the conversation?
He likes beer.
No, yes. I mean, I like beer, too.
Sorry, that's my
– In the conversation we said about Luka was, yeah – I wanted to do it with all these players,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Don't mark that, Jacob. I wanted to win the championship with Luka and the other players. And I'm sure there are people out there that are like, why couldn't you win the championship with Micah and other players? And quite honestly, the financials part of it is a significant reason you couldn't win that championship. So I understand if you're a fan of Micah and you're upset that the player's gone and you wanted to win a championship with him. The Cowboys have spent money incorrectly in a lot of different areas, and that put them in a position where Micah became the one that they said, we have to stop this cycle and go in a different direction.
And I agree with everybody who says the Cowboys are worse this morning. I hear you. And this is something we're going to talk with Nick Harris in just a few minutes, but this is something I want to ask all the Cowboys fans. I'm totally serious. Are you going to be upset if Micah is immediately at Green Bay practice and plays in the season opener? Like, he just was getting on a plane to get another doctor's opinion because he was definitely hurt.
Was getting another doctor's opinion to prove to the Packers that he was okay.
Ah,
that's my belief. That's what I believe.
Okay. Well, then that's a different deal. But if it's the other way around.
Because the Packers were like, they were talking the last several days with the Cowboys, and they're like, hey, but his back. And Jerry was like, his back's fine. And they were like, we'll prove it. And they were like, no, just trust us. Remember that Detroit and Texas Rangers trade with Prince Fielder? Everything's going to be fine. You don't need to check it out. And they were like, well, we're going to ask him to check it out anyway. And so he did.
See, I want to point out that I agree with the last part of this text for sure. From the 512, now I'm calling BS, dumb trade. And they said from a senile owner, I hope we go 2-15. Sick of this S. Me too. I also hope we go 2-15.
Dude, because those drafts would be
then
so high.
We're going to have the number one pick in the draft and an additional first round draft pick. I'm all about piling up the assets. I've said that for some time.
You're trying to figure out.
I don't agree totally with all of
you.
You're trying to figure
out how to get Jeremiah Smith, aren't you?
Oh, my God, yes. Although, that's going to be – Jeremiah Smith is one of the best wide receivers I think I've ever seen in college football.
He'll replace Pickens whenever Mulligetta won't agree to work.
I was going to say, that feels like a hard
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all got to stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
Sell that we traded for Pickens, that we lost him, and then eventually we're going to draft Jeremiah Smith. And they're like, okay, well, I don't know.
This is worse than the Luka trade. They got nothing back. Kenny Clark and two first-round picks. Two first-round picks is pretty massive. That's not nothing. Nothing at all. Now, did I want two firsts, a second, maybe a couple of thirds to go with it? Yeah, absolutely. But I absolutely see that two first-round picks can make a gigantic difference in the way you build your team in the future.
And that's the other thing. I will go back to this, and I understand why and if people disagree.
Yeah.
The money for Kenny Clark will be significantly lower this year, but then it will also obviously be lower going forward, and he's not under a guaranteed deal unless they've changed something up in the contract, which I doubt going forward. So if he's not good enough, you can just move on from him and take the money that you would have used with Micah for other players. Do you have faith that this team front office can do a good job with that? Well, I hear you on that, and I'm willing to listen to that complaint and that concern all day long. I don't agree that Kenny Clark and two first-round picks is nothing. Like, I definitely don't agree with that. To Corey's point, if you don't think it was enough, well, that's a different conversation.
Sure.
But to say it was nothing, like in back-to-back drafts, I'm not saying this would happen whatsoever, but you go back to 2017, 2018, and I'll keep looking. In back-to-back drafts, if you had that draft pick, you could have taken T.J. Watt and Lamar Jackson. That doesn't feel like nothing,
mm-hmm.
but your counterpoint can easily be like, or you could have got Taco
Mozzie. Yeah,
yeah. Like, I understand that.
Yeah, the
well.
Luck of the draft is kind of what you're hoping for.
And then from the 214, the issue is Green Bay picks are going to be high. Value is minimal in their opinion. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think it's weird that it's a fact that Green Bay is going to be awesome for the next 2 years. I don't necessarily agree with that. And
they're going to be money stricken for a while. That's for sure. They have to win now.
And a first round pick is valuable regardless. Like, you could tell me they had a second round grade on that player. First round picks are currency to get what you really want done. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Uncle Julio's in Frisco, 2401 Preston Road. They are open. Ignore your navigator that says they are not. They are, in fact, open. Coming up next, we'll talk with Dallas Cowboys insider for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Nick Harris, right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through The Fan. We're live from Uncle Julio's in Frisco, 2401 Preston Road. It is also Shout Out Friday. I don't know how well that's going to go today, but we will give it a shot. Right now, we bring on Dallas Cowboys insider for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and man who likes to move in the middle of the biggest Cowboys story in years. It is Nick Harris. Good morning, sir.
How are y'all doing? Yeah, I feel like my life is kind of an effed up version of the Truman Show sometimes, and yesterday was certainly a nutshell of that.
You're not doing a bit, and I know you posted the picture. Can you explain to people, did you in fact have a moving van at the Star yesterday for this press conference?
I did. Of course, I picked the perfect time to move houses this week. I wrote two articles on the floor of my empty kitchen yesterday, and then the news came down, and I was like, boy, oh boy, I am not moving today. But I already had my entire U-Haul loaded up, and then I get the news that the press conference is happening. I was like, I don't have a choice. I got to drive this U-Haul to the Star. So I'm flying this U-Haul 65 miles per hour down Sam Rayburn Tollway in the pouring rain. And, parked it out front, and I was like, yeah, live to tell another day. I'll say that.
and he got a significant question in the conversation. He got multiple questions yesterday.
Did you think about asking a follow-up question that, Jerry, do you know it's Micah Parsons and not Michael Parsons?
Yeah, that one always gets me. That one always tickles me whenever he says Michael, and then Steven leaning over to him is like, hey, it's Micah, just letting you know, like 3 months too late.
Now, I saw some of your tweets in the aftermath of the trade, and I certainly understand them, and I want to get back to the value of it all in just a minute. But before that, can you give us a Cliff's Notes version of how really did we get here?
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm going to try to give you the Cliff Notes as best as I can, but it is an extensive ordeal. I mean, we can go back to a couple of years ago. This was first kicked around the front office back in the offseason leading into 2024, and it was like, man, imagine the return we could get on Micah Parsons. That was more so the idea that was brought up, and it was like, he gives us headaches in practice. He has a lackadaisical approach to how he prepares. Sure, he shows up on Sundays, but he's not a good example for the guys around him. You know, he kind of has some guys following in his footsteps. We don't like that necessarily. And you know, Jerry Jones had a conversation with him leading into last season, and I give Micah a lot of credit because I did think he took a step forward when it came to his maturity last season. You know, you think about when things were really going down the gutter last year, Micah Parsons is one of the big voices in that locker room, you know, saying, hey, we still want to win games. games, you know, we still have a chance here up until the very end when they didn't. And so, you know, I do give him credit for that. And then going into the offseason, you know, I think this is probably the most misunderstood thing about this situation is that Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons had a really good relationship. Jerry has said it multiple times. He only has about three or four players over the course of his entire career as owner and GM of the Cowboys that has his personal phone number, and Micah Parsons was one of them. He called him multiple times to set up meetings and just talk. You know, the Cotton Bowl was one of them. I was actually disappointed coming out of the Cotton Bowl because they didn't really talk about anything substantial. They just talked about life, and, you know, the leadership was addressed that night as well, but it was nothing, you know, too extensive. And then the meeting on March 18th at the Star, that was the turning point in this whole entire situation. You know, it was the meeting was called to talk about leadership for Micah Parsons, and it's been disputed by both sides who actually brought up contract stuff first. But both sides did engage in contract negotiations. They agreed on a certain number, 5 years, $202.5 million. And, you know, the report that Nick Eatman had on your guys' airways this morning, saying that the 5 year 202 may include his fifth year option and maybe don't. But regardless, he was going to be the highest paid non-quarterback in league history. He was going to get the second most guaranteed money in league history, only behind Deshaun Watson. That was the deal that was on the table. Mm. And, Michael Parsons called Jerry back the next day, called Steven back the next day, excuse me, and you know, worked out a little bit more parameters, and they're like, you know what, we agree on this. And Micah said, all right, let's loop in the agent. And Jerry was like, why are we going to do that? We've already negotiated this. We agree on it. All yeah. the agent is going to try to do is mess up this negotiation, and that is where things went sour. And both sides felt manipulated in this situation. And because they had such a strong relationship, I think this is why it soured so bad. We just got done watching the Gambler and his Cowboys and Netflix show. We see what happens when Jerry Jones feels disrespected by someone he considers a close friend in Jimmy Johnson. Yeah. That is very similar to what happened here. I think Bobby Belt has made that point on your guys' airways as well. It's a really fascinating point because that is how close Micah and Jerry got if you go back to that March 18th meeting, that was how close their relationship was at that point. And so I think both of them met their match when it came to stubbornness, because it became a stonewall at that point for about 5-6 months, and being like, okay, is Jerry going to pick up the phone and call the agent, or is Micah just going to agree upon what they agreed upon back in March? And neither of them did it. And then when disrespectful comments started to fly in from both sides, you look at the introductory press conference, and then the next day, Micah Parsons makes his comments. Things got really messy by the end of it. But the turning point as far as the last week goes, the Cowboys did not have an intention of trading Micah Parsons when he requested the trade on August 1st. That changed whenever he started to line up tactics to not play in week one. That was, he was medically cleared to play with his back tightness or whatever you call it. By the way, I think his back is healed these days.
It's a miracle!
We all understand. It happens.
amazing medicine. Amazing medicine. But I think the back tightness situation, he was trying to find a doctor that would tell him he can't play in week one so that he could still get paid for week one and technically hold out at the same time. The grievance that was filed against his contract, you know, there was potential language in there that, you know, could have allowed him to potentially not play in week one and still get paid. Those tactics were starting to line up. I think the Cowboys saw those tactics lining up, and they said, you know what, enough is enough. We have some really good offers on the table. We've already talked about the headache that he's brought here. Let's go ahead and engage with one and get this deal done, and that's the reality we sit in.
All right, Nick, yesterday multiple times during the press conference, Jerry Jones said that he thinks this is in the best interest of the team to make this move. And I know there's a variety of reasons he could be saying that, but do you believe he means the best interest of the team right now or in the future?
I think he meant both. You know, it's no secret. This team needed a run stopper. And the defensive tackle position on this team is easily the worst room in the entire league at the one tech spot. And Mazi Smith, you know, not living up to his first round billing, that was really kind of the first domino in this whole ordeal. What's the meme where it's like the domino falls and then the house falls at the end? The first domino was Mazi Smith not panning out. Jerry said in the press conference yesterday, he said, unless it was a team with a premier defensive tackle ready to hand to us, we were not going to get a deal done. We were looking for a premier defensive tackle. So that was the root of the return and the root of, you know, how he feels that they're better now than they were yesterday. they still feel really good about this edge room. I've talked to a couple of people in the last 24 hours, like, hey, Donovan Ezeraku, we feel damn good about him. Dante Fowler's coming off of a double-digit sack season. He's looked good in camp. Sam Williams, I think, is still to be determined, and I think some people in the building probably feel that way too. We'll see how he starts the year. But they feel confident in that edge room paired with now Kenny Clark, that they can get pressure, and now they can also stop the run. They feel like that is how that they're better now. In the future, they have 4 first-round picks. They can either move those and move up in a draft or go get another guy. Shoot, they have over $40 million in cap space right now. They have some flexibility to do some things. It's just how they allocate these resources. That's going to be the big deal, man, because if, let's say that they use these 2 first-round picks and they're used on a Mozzie Smith and a Taco Charlton.
Yeah.
Man, this is going to look like a bad trade in hindsight. But if they use those 2 picks on a Tyler Smith and, a Zach Martin, I don't know, I'm just kind of talking out of my butt here, then it's going to look pretty good, you know? So, it's to be seen how, who exactly wins this trade, but the Cowboys are confident that they are better now and that they can allocate these resources better in the future to be better in the future.
And when you're talking about the resources from a draft pick standpoint, I definitely understand that, but also $18 million cap hit, give or take, because I know the grievance is still lingering with Kenny Clark this year, and then going forward, I don't believe he has any guaranteed money on that deal, right? So it also seems like, and you mentioned the salary cap number, but the financial flexibility built in along with the draft picks feels pretty substantial.
Yeah, and I'm actually trying to pull up the numbers right now as far as Kenny Clark's cap hit this year. It is significantly lower than
$2.3 million.
Yeah, the Packers had already paid Kenny Clark $8.2 million this season, so the cap hit is only $2.3 million for the Cowboys this year. And none of Clark's future years are guaranteed.
Exactly.
So it is it's a flexible contract that they can work with, and again, they have that flexibility to move around as soon as today.
What do you know about Kenny Clark as the player? Because I went and watched what I could of him last night, and then I looked at some stats and was like, man, Matt Eberflus had to have known about him. Like, he had to have known how good he was, having gone up against him for 3 straight years, and he did damage against the Bears.
Absolutely, and he was asked in his first 8 seasons to be this upfield, attack type of defensive tackle, and man, he got sack production involved with that. You go back to his 2023 year, 7.5 sacks, Pro Bowl season, and was a premier run stopper. I was diving into the nuances of his film yesterday and kind of a rabbit hole, and man, he gets his get off is elite. And when you talk about defensive tackles, his run stopping is quite solid as well. Now you look to last year, and I think he was asked to do some different things. I think he was asked to play a little bit more laterally. You know, that's something we'll be able to ask him for sure today, but you see him playing more laterally.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break. And best to you.
Last year, and you wonder if that was maybe, coaching or if that was a personal decision. But nevertheless, his sack production took a hit as a result of that. But you factor in Matt Eberflus and what he's talked about. He wants to have an attack front. Mm-hmm. He wants his guys to get after the quarterback. I think it's going to benefit Kenny Clark in getting back to what his sack production looked like in 22-23. As far as his run stopping ability, he's got it. I mean, he's got the 315-pound plus frame that can certainly work in those A and B gaps quite well. And just a funny note that I think is hilarious in all of this. This is the 3rd defensive tackle now on the roster that went to UCLA. And so him, Osa Digizua, and Jay Toya are all Bruins.
Well, as long as we still got Mozzie, I'm saying? I know you already mentioned that.
3 UCLA guys to overcome 1 Michigan guy.
So was there any point yesterday where you thought the biggest story was going to be we picked up Trevor Keegan off of waivers from the Eagles, and you're like, hey, I'll write a little something about that?
Yeah, poor Ryan Flannoy, because I mean, talking about the news dump of the century, and that was tough for him. I was funny. We were joking in the press conference yesterday. He was like, all right, who's going to be the guy to ask Jerry about why they waived Ryan Flannoy today?
Oh man, nobody did either. So.
Now, do you think that the Cowboys, is there any part that they got upset that Kelsey and Swift were getting too much run from NFL fans, and they're like, we got to do something?
And then they tried to show him up last night in the Cincinnati game.
I'll tell you what, those headlines have gone away, haven't they? If that was the plan, it worked. I'll say that.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate the time, especially when you're in the midst of the story, in the midst of moving. Hopefully in a week or so, you can look back and take a deep breath.
Oh, man, I'm looking at a living room full of boxes right now. There's no such thing as a deep breath, but I appreciate you, fellas.
There you go.
Thank you very much. There you go. Nick Harris from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram right here on 105.3 The Fan. Don't worry, because coming up next, well, actually, you probably should worry, because it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Why do the baseball injury gods hate the Rangers?
They do.
We'll do it live from Uncle Julio's in Frisco, 2401 Preston Road, right here on The Fan.
Here's Seager. He swings and belts one. Deep right center, that is on its way. That ball is history. Over the bullpen. A monster shot for Corey. Make it 9-1 Texas in the fourth.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, you know, we've talked this morning about the Cowboys picking up another offensive lineman in Trevor Keegan off of waivers from the Eagles. But to facilitate that, Ryan Flannoy was waived, and I do wonder if this is like a short-term deal and they had a discussion ahead of time. Otherwise, this does feel somewhat perplexing in terms of stacking the Cowboys roster, but I realize probably not a lot of people care about that quite as much today. Right now, though, something you should care about is brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Now, you might be excited about the concept of Baseball Nuggets. You will not be excited when we get to our first story and the reason why we played that highlight. In a year that has been woefully cruel, actually, let me start that again. In a week that has been woefully cruel to the Texas Rangers, let's add Corey Seager to the list. Think about this, Corey. We're live at Uncle Julio's in Frisco off of Preston Road. I hope you come out and see us, by the way.
Absolutely.
Got some more Tolo shirts. We're giving away Nelly tickets.
What's that helmet over there?
Oh.
Are we? Hey, hold on. Hey,
we'll
Jaime.
Get to
are
that.
Are we giving that away? Okay, never mind.
What?
It's just to look at, Kevin.
Oh, man, that's so rude.
It's just to look at.
But a week ago today, we had Bruce Bochy on, and he broke the news on our show that it looks like Evan Carter has a fracture. He's probably going to be done for the rest of the season. What has happened in the ensuing week?
Nothing.
Lots of things.
They've won games.
Marcus Semien, that is true, but Marcus Semien out for the regular season. Nathan Eovaldi, I almost called him Eovaldi, out for the rest of the regular season. Now, Corey Seager has an appendectomy. And
give me that silverware real quick.
Okay,
Kevin.
He has an appendectomy, and he is unknown for his return date. So in the meantime,
that's what they're doing.
That's why I gave
you
that silverware.
They're waving the white flag right now, Kevin.
Then why do they keep winning games?
Well, because that's just what the talent that's left is doing. You know, plus they played a really bad Angels team. The pitching for the Angels the other night was not good.
True.
Kevin, I believe.
Well, guess what? You've got the A's and the Diamondbacks. Not like they're great.
I 1,000% believe, 1,000%, that if the Rangers actually had a legitimate chance at winning a playoff spot, winning this division, Eovaldi's pitching, Marcus Semien's fighting through this injury, and Corey Seager, he'll be back faster.
An appendectomy.
This one is one of those kind of like fluky situations, but I absolutely believe that this is kind of a slow regression. They're slowly kind of pulling players off the thing and saying, look, season could be over. They're going to let these guys go out there and fight for their lives, especially these younger players with the new energy they have, but I do believe that this is just another form of waving the white flag and letting everybody know we tried, but we're going to have to start looking ahead to next year.
Well, I think there's a couple good ways to put it here from the 817. Dang you, baseball gods! And then from the 682, what a conga line of crotch kicks for the Rangers. Now that is a great way.
Dude, conga lines are supposed to be fun.
That makes me forget for half a second that, like, how bad It really, really is.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's tough, man.
That's unfortunate. And it's all happened in the span of a week.
Yeah.
That's like, that's what sucks is in this week when you have built up momentum winning, you're like, also, you're going to lose four of your main players and surely two of your what? Best three
yeah.
or four players?
And you're right about that. And while I'm saying white flag, I still have no doubt that Bruce Bochy is going to go out there. And as he's told us every single time we've ever talked to him, I'm trying to win this game today. And I think he's going to manage the team in a way that is trying to win that game that day with whatever he has. And whatever Chris Young can bring up, whatever opportunities they can give to some younger players to prove that they could be the outfielders of the future for this team or potentially first baseman of the future, whatever it is, I think Bruce Bochy is going to do everything he can. But these veterans that are in the position that they are in, they have some health problems, but they're still part of the future for this franchise. And so they're saying, all right, we're out of it right now. But, Kevin, I bet you if they get back into this sucker, we see those guys making a comeback.
Oh.
That's just my thought.
Now, go ahead and give me cut number six because we had a historical performance last night.
1-2.
Oh, that my one's God. Drilled deep to right field. He has done it. Four home runs in a game. A three-run home run.
Kyle Schwarber hit home run number 46 and 47 and 48 and 49 last night. First Major League Baseball player in 8 years to hit four home runs in a game. Kyle Schwarber has obviously had a ridiculous season. He has 49 home runs, which leads the NL and trails only Cal Raleigh. And this is probably a conversation we'll pick up again another day, but the curiosity about MVP fatigue and if voters would steer away from Judge and or Ohtani because they're just looking for another person. But yeah, Kyle Schwarber, four home runs in his first five at-bats yesterday for the season, 49 home runs, 119 RBIs, and an OPS of 956. Now, if you still care about batting average, which we learned that Bruce Bochy's wife does, and she wants batting average back on the scoreboard in Globe Life Field, he is only hitting 248. However, if you put up those kind of numbers
in Texas,
yeah, well,
if you put up 49 home runs and bat 248 in Texas, you're a hero right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
can you imagine if that was our DH instead of Jock?
Oh,
I mean, I tried
don't
to tell.
Don't do this to me now.
I tried to tell you all off season that I wanted that player.
Do this to me now.
And everybody was like, "You can't sign him. He's going to be too expensive." And yes, he was too expensive. And here's the reason why: because every time Kyle Schwarber's up at the plate, it's a significant moment in baseball, and he's the one that hits a home run for it. So,
yeah, dude,
I think he deserves the MVP. They're going to go win the World Series, and he's going to be the reason.
Well, that's not going to happen because they have Bryce Harper on their team. But
that's good.
Why are you doing this to me now? Hmm. It's bad enough that we lost Corey Seager. I was just trying to tell a nice side story about Schwarber.
I like Schwarber, dude.
I can tell that you like him. But the person that you like even better is Oral Hershiser. Now, he has made a challenge, a bounty. I'm going to go to cut number one.
I'm sorry, what?
I cut out some of this. It's a positive one.
Oh, okay.
I cut out some of this. So, Oral Hershiser.
Love Oral Hershiser.
He signed his one-of-one card for Topps Chrome. Now, I essentially cut out all the parts where he talks about how he used to collect, which is really neat, because then he talked about how there was no product like Topps Chrome around when he was a kid, and it kind of turned into a commercial for a second.
Okay.
But if you pull the one-of-one autographed superfractor Oral Hershiser from Topps Chrome, this is what he's going to offer you.
And I've already seen that there's been some bounties out there. And so maybe I should create a bounty. That bounty could be anything from fly out here to California, two of you, to come to this store, Legends Attic, my place, where we have Topps Chrome.
What?
We have a luxurious Doubletree right next door that you could be staying at. We definitely could be talking about Dodger tickets. A visit to the booth where Joe Davis and I are doing the broadcast. A Hershiser autographed jersey in the trade.
Dude, what boxes am I looking at again?
Topps Chrome.
Okay, just any Topps Chrome in the whole world? Is it a specific year? Is this year specific?
Yeah,
You find out which one it is,
it
Kevin.
Is
you
this
tell
year.
Me which
he
one it
just,
is. When you find it out, I will go buy as many as I can. We're finding this card, and I'm going to go be best friends with Oral Hershiser like I always wanted.
Okay, I can tell you we're not far from a whole bunch of card shops, including the Sports Collectors Hub in Allen. You know the people that run the Dallas Card Show. We've done our show at the Dallas Card Show numerous times. That's their shop.
Yes.
If you ever were like, hey, I've been to the card show, well, their shop is like right down the street, and I believe they open in just a few minutes. So I'm just saying. All right, so you're in on this.
Yes.
You would love to make this happen.
Yes. Dude, we went to the Dodger Stadium and watched a great game.
It was a lot of fun.
And it was a wonderful event, so I'd love to go out there. And you know what, Kevin? I'll even tell you this. I'll leave my wife at home. You can go out
You're taking
there with
me?
You can go out there with me if you help me find
Hell yeah!
Let's go.
Let's make this happen. And so you've seen this more and more in collectibles, and I think it's really neat that these players, like you talked about it with Bo Jackson, came up. They're like, no, I signed this card. I want it back.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I realized for contractual reasons I can't just take it. And that'd probably be shady business if you like signed up and you're like, I don't want any money. I want to keep my one of one and not distribute that into the public.
One of those? And they're like, no, then it wouldn't be a one of one.
And you saw Oral Hershiser. He made a video signing the one of one. You know what I love about this? You've seen lots of players do that. And I've seen multiple go, okay, one of one. And so they, like, take their time.
They don't want to mess up the card.
Exactly.
Yeah, they don't want to mess up that autograph.
So there's some fun stories for you in addition to, obviously, the less fun story that Corey Seager is out right now because he needed an appendectomy. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next from NFL.com, the maestro of Micah Math. It is Cynthia Freeland next right here on The Fan.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.